We began last night to consider life and death, both and in the last days of Jesus' earthly service. We read today of his crucifixion and death, but that death was the end of a life lived with the goal of death in mind, continually disciplined. And so rather than yesterday being life and today being death and Sunday being life again, each of these 3 days is life and death. Sunday, a reverse order, death and life, importantly. But today also is life and death. His death is the exodus, and that's a Greek word meaning departure, that he discussed on the Mount of Transfiguration with Moses and Elijah, whereby he takes his people out of the Egypt of this world. Israel's Passover being a type of a far greater exodus from bondage by means of a far greater sacrifice. And we can see in the Garden of Gethsemane his tremendous struggle. The struggle it was internally for Jesus to yield his Adamic, from Adam, fleshly, material body over to death. Not a thing in itself, but simply the cessation of the life that he had. But it was a struggle to do that inside. This was a contest of the human desire for our own survival, no matter what God says, with what God says. Not my will, but thine be done, he said, bleeding through his pores. It took everything Jesus had, tremendous strength. Then he was ready. But that strength wasn't physical. I enjoyed very much our Stations of the Cross tonight. And as we come to where the cross is placed on Jesus here in the second station, you notice his legs. This was a man who was not used to carrying and doing heavy labor. He's buckling under that. It isn't a physical strength that enabled him in the garden to yield to the will of God. Spiritual. The power of God enabling him whose way of life from childhood had not been by bread alone. Bread being organic food making the body strong. But also, both and, by every word from the mouth of God. So the spiritual strength to undergo this suffering and death at the hands of deeply sinful humanity came to him as a man from God through God's word. Spiritual food producing spiritual strength to overcome not merely the temptations of the flesh for selfish pleasure and power and strength to temptations of the flesh for selfish pleasure and power and glory among men, regardless of the will of God. He had already passed that test in the desert. But also the weight of the flesh dragging him down to want to do the will of that flesh, to live, to keep living, to survive, just the way he is, on his own terms, no matter what God wants. So we can see that this death of Jesus is not simply a matter of his having sinful men take his life from him. For this is a death that he accomplished. And that's the other word that he discussed with Moses and Elijah on the Mount of Transfiguration, the death that he would accomplish. This death was his magnum opus, his life's greatest work. It is the achievement for which he had been preparing from the beginning. Like an athlete, everything had been focused on this goal. What was the goal? We can easily state it in terms that only Jesus, the Messiah, could have accomplished. The forgiveness of our sins, of the sins of humanity, the redemption of the fallen race of Adam. Only he could do that. But it's far better for us to state it in terms that each of us can fully appreciate. In the words of Mark's gospel, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength." The great commandment, the will of God for each of us, just as it was for the Messiah. The will of God for him was our redemption. That required that the power of God's Spirit had to overcome the downward pull of the flesh of Adam that he bore in his incarnation as one of us. What is the will of God for you and I? The Apostle Paul is very clear. He states it in his letter to the Thessalonians. What is the will, he states it, "For this is the will of God, your sanctification." Now, it's in the context of sexual immorality, and so it's clear that he means there to be sexually pure. But sanctification is a big word with implications in the whole of our lives, covering all of God's will, all of his desire for humanity. His will is our sanctification. And our fallen nature tied to our physical bodies will tempt us and drag us down from that sanctification in whatever and in all particulars that afflict you and I. Our Gethsemane and our Golgotha will look very different from that of Jesus, and in comparison will not call for notice or comment. But it is just as real. A challenge calling us to use all our strength, all our soul, all our heart, all our mind. And it is forced on us in the particulars of our lives, just as it was forced on Jesus, if we mean what we pray to our Father, "Thy will be done." This narrative of Jesus' suffering and crucifixion, then, isn't simply the story of the Messiah, which is his alone, who towers over us in stature and accomplishment, which he surely does. It's also our story. His death is the prototype, the archetype, for the death all of us who would be united to him through faith and repentance, both and. Not at all the same in the particulars, but identical in the reality and the result. We must die, as he did to the sinful flesh, the fallen nature of Adam in us. In Matthew's gospel, we read, "Then Jesus told his disciples, 'If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me.'" Deny yourself. Turn your back on yourself. Face in a new direction. Put the old nature to death. A real death. A cessation. This is the way of life that leads to the cross, the cessations of the desires motivating the sins in our lives, the cessation of the life lived in that sinful manner. This is the way of life that prepares for the cross. Embracing new habits of living, new patterns of relationships, new goals, new accomplishments, new perspectives on all of life. Sanctification, the will of God. The church today doesn't lack testimony to Jesus. It's on all the radio stations. People on the news will talk about Jesus. It's in magazines and newspapers. It's open. He is openly spoken of. It doesn't lack confession of faith in him. The church today lacks sanctification. When Jesus speaking words of spirit and life with the creative power of the omnipotent creator said, "This is my body, which is given for you. And this cup that is poured out for you is the new covenant in my blood." He gives us spiritual food via, through, by means of simple, material, organic food of bread and wine. The Eucharist being both and spiritual and physical, material. He does so so that you and I might have the spiritual strength to accomplish the will of God, to love God with all our strength in the particulars of our individual lives. The food that he gives us is his flesh and blood. Not his new flesh and blood that rose from the dead on Easter, the day we celebrate it. His flesh and blood inherited from Adam, subject to the failure of sin. But he did not sin. All the way to the cessation of that life, he lived. Rather, he accomplished the will of God to the full for him. So the food he gives us is himself who accomplished the exodus, the way out of this sinful world. It is sufficient food for each of us to make this journey, ending in the crucifixion of everything in us opposed to the will of the Father. The question is not whether he gives us sufficient food and strength for the challenge we face. He has proven that it is sufficient, his life. The question is only whether we choose to face the challenge, for it seems only death to us. But as we see fully on Sunday, it is life to choose the death of the cross. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.